In my previous book, Before You Quit Your Job, I wrote about the process of building my first major business, a business that brought to market the first nylon and Velcro surfer wallets. In that book, I wrote about the 8 components that make up any business, and about how not having all 8 of those business components is the reason why so many businesses fail and remain unprofitable. I believe it's a very important book for anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur and start their own business. In the book, I wrote about how my business went to extreme success in about a year, making me a millionaire, and then failed suddenly. I described the feelings of depression and loss, and a strong desire to run away and hide after the business collapsed. I was deeply in debt and facing the biggest financial problem of my life up to that point. Rich Dad, however, encouraged me to face my problems and rebuild the business instead of running and declaring bankruptcy. He reminded me that solving this messy problem would increase my financial intelligence. It was some of the best advice I've ever received. Rebuilding the wreckage of my business was my business school. The first thing I had to do was put together the 8 parts of my business. The second thing I had to do was redefine my business by finding a competitive niche. You see, by 1981, the year I was rebuilding the business, the market was inundated by other wallet makers. Prices for wallets dropped from $10 at retail, the price I had established, to $1 a wallet on the streets of Waikiki and the world. Nylon wallets had become a commodity, and as you know, the market for commodities goes to the lowest-priced producer. In order to compete as a commodity, I needed a market niche. I needed to become a brand. That opportunity came in the form of rock and roll. As described in Before You Quit Your Job, I stumbled into the rock and roll business and saved my business by licensing the rights to use rock band names on my wallets. Soon, I was producing wallets for Van Halen, Judas Priest, Duran Duran, Iron Maiden, and others. Because I was a legally licensed product, I got my retail price back up to $10 a wallet. Although I now had to pay a royalty to the bands, being a legally licensed rock and roll product opened doors to retailers across America and throughout the world. My business boomed, and money came pouring back in. As I've said, the way to increase one's financial intelligence is by solving the problem in front of you. By 1981, I had solved the problem of rebuilding my business. Then, the next problem appeared: beating my low-priced competitors and the imitators who took my product and were making money while I was losing money. This problem came in the form of pirates. The very people who copied my first product, the original nylon wallet, were now copying my competitive niche. They started producing the same licensed products I was producing, selling at lower prices, only not paying a royalty to the bands. After a few months of fighting the pirates, I realized the only people getting rich were my attorneys. There is a saying that goes, "If you can't beat them, join them." Tired of hemorrhaging money in a losing battle, I fired my attorneys and flew to Korea, Taiwan, and Indonesia to join forces with the pirates. Instead of fighting them in court, which was costing me much more money than I was making, I licensed my competitors to produce my wallets for me. My production costs dropped, my legal fees went down, and I had better factories behind me. I could now do what I did best: sell. Business boomed again. Soon our products were in department stores and at rock concerts. In 1982, a new television channel hit the airwaves, MTV. Our business went through the roof, and once again, money poured in. In January of 1984, I sold my share of the rock and roll nylon wallet business to my 2 partners. Kim and I left Hawaii and moved to California to start our business education company. I had no idea there would be such a difference between selling a product and selling education. 1985 was the worst year of our lives. Our savings ran out, and soon the problem of not enough money was a major one. I'd been broke before, but Kim hadn't. That she stayed with me is a testament to her character, not my good looks. Yet, we worked together and built an international business teaching entrepreneurship and investing with offices in the U.S., Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, and Canada. In 1994, Kim and I sold the business and retired with enough passive income from our real estate investments to support us for the rest of our lives. But we got bored. After our brief retirement, Kim and I produced our board game Cash Flow in 1996, and Rich Dad Poor Dad was released as a self-published book in 1997. In mid-2000, Oprah Winfrey had me on her program for an hour, and the rest is history. Today, the Rich Dad Company is an international business. Much of the success is due to lessons learned from the failures and successes of my previous businesses. If I hadn't learned from solving my problems, I would never have made it this far. If I had thrown in the towel and let circumstances overwhelm me, you wouldn't be listening to this audiobook right now.